From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, open lines for you here, and here's what's happening. Federal prosecutors have convened a grand jury to investigate the wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter, seeking to charge her as an accessory to 49 counts of murder, 53 counts of attempted murder, as well as the failure to notify law enforcement about the pending terrorist attack and lying to federal agents. She apparently told investigators that her husband shared his plans with her to carry out an attack, and Mateen may have been even calling her from the club Pulse during the slaughter. She also has confirmed details of Mateen's gun purchases prior to the assault. We shall see how this unfolds. The FBI is investigating reports that Mateen visited Orlando's Pulse nightclub several times before he killed 49 people there over the weekend. One man also said he recognized him from an app used to arrange dates and hookups for men, adding a new layer of complexity to the investigation of the worst mass shooting in modern American history. Jeez. And it gets even stranger. A Muslim radical who was being investigated for terror ties stabbed a French police chief to death outside his home, then tortured the man's wife in front of their toddler son, all while live streaming this rampage on Facebook. I thought we'd check in with the expert on the internet, Lauren Weinstein, on this one. Lauren, this is like a Hollywood horror movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard not to draw comparisons to movies like the Saw series, for example, where they were live streaming.
That's exactly right.
Things like that. But what's interesting here in a grotesque kind of way is that there seems to be more and more evidence that this is less about religion and more about criminals and losers and just sick minds who are looking for attention on the way out. Because the way this is, what I see again and again is these live streams. The Orlando shooter apparently had sworn allegiance to like four different groups, all of which competed with each other and had completely different ideology.
Yeah.
Which causes out. That doesn't seem like a very systematic religious view. So it just seems like more and more the religion has become an excuse for this kind of horror, and when it's broadcast this way, that makes you think even more that it's about the show in a just nightmarish kind of way, and much less about traditional religion of any kind. I don't care whether you're talking about Christianity or Islam or anything else, and I don't know what the solution for this is going to be. I'm hoping that in the long run here, we're going to be seeing more and more of these live streaming kinds of mechanisms. There's so many useful things.
And the technology is so easy, Lauren. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and there's so many. I mean, you may have heard Facebook is now saying that maybe in 5 years, it'll almost entirely be video on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can talk about whether that's a good thing or not. But I'm hoping that it'll be possible to find ways to kind of crowdsource the monitoring of these public feeds so that when something really horrible starts to happen, it can be pinpointed very quickly. It's not possible to turn these things off, and you wouldn't want to because there's so many useful things that can be done with them. But there should be ways when so many people notice that something like this is going on to draw attention to it very quickly, given the technology we have at hand.
Lauren, any idea how many people watch this thing on Facebook unfold?
I didn't hear. I was looking at that today, and I didn't see any statistics on how many people actually saw that. Usually what happens with things like that is someone will have a relatively small number of followers to start with, and they'll tell someone else. And one of the really horrific aspects of this is that a lot of times people see this and they don't think it's real, right? They think it's somebody, doing a kind of sick joke or a simulation or something like that. And that actually tends to suppress people filing reports on it because they don't want to get somebody in trouble who's just screwing around. And then later on, of course, you find out that it was all too real.
Well, and what's also kind of sad and pathetic at the same time, Lauren, is I think a majority of the people who have the access to this would watch this in that sick.
I don't know if I hope you're wrong about it being the majority. I
think it would be a very, very high number.
You could well be right, but I sure would wish you were wrong on that.
Me too.
Most people wouldn't want to watch that. But yes, I think that what's happened is that people have become so callous from, you know, I'll use the term reality TV, but you know, it should always be in quotes, right? Reality TV and watching the horrible things on the news, that they just see this kind of thing now, and it's you know, you remember the old movie Network?
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorites.
A wonderful film that now, looking at it over the distance of the years, it was incredibly
accurate
and forward seeing. It wasn't supposed to be a prediction, and unfortunately, it turned into one.
You got it, Lauren. Thank you so much. Wow, what a story! Presumptive presidential nominee Hillary Clinton defeated Senator Bernie Sanders Tuesday night in the Washington, D.C. Democratic primary there, marking now the end of the presidential primary season and bringing the two candidates together in a face-to-face meeting about what's next for the party in the general election there. So we're getting close, folks. We're getting close. Malnutrition is sweeping the world, fueled by obesity as well as starvation, according to new research. The 2016 Global Nutrition Report said 44% of the countries were now experiencing very serious levels of both undernutrition and obesity. It means one in three people suffers from malnutrition in some form, according to the study of 129 countries. A high percentage of children, teens, and young adults with migraines appear to have mild deficiencies in vitamin D, riboflavin, and coenzyme Q10, a vitamin-like substance found in every cell of the body that is used to produce energy for cell growth and maintenance. Let's check in with Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, tell me more about this one.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you. Yeah, it turns out that the brain uses more nutrition than any other part of the body. Nutrition is important for keeping electrical energy working appropriately throughout the body, but especially in the brain, and also for helping the blood flow effectively through the brain. The brain is also using a lot of the nutrients that come out of the blood. Vitamin D is involved in electrical energy, and vitamin B2 or riboflavin, as you say, and also coenzyme Q10. We used to use riboflavin in the pharmacy as a treatment for a migraine headache.
Well, that's smart. Now, when are people going to catch on and realize that that's what they need to do?
You know, there's no way your body can be operating as efficiently as it's intended to without having appropriate nutrients. And that statistic you just read, 44% of Americans being deficient in some form of the micronutrients, is so scary and so startling. And it has not only has a lot to do with physical health and physical well-being, but it has a major role to play in mental health and mental well-being. And I can't help but wonder how much of these scary stories, these horrific stories about shooters and about murders and tortures and criminal behavior, has to do with simple, plain old nutritional deficiencies.
You got it, Ben. Thank you so much. Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. Up next, Stephen Quayle joins us for 3 hours, and we will talk about giants, conspiracies, world events. We've got it all with Stephen Quayle next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Dory with you in the cave in St. Louis. For the next 3 hours, you're going to be hearing me chat with Stephen Quayle about a number of different subjects and issues, conspiracies, world events, legends, Genesis giants, the trumpet horns. Is this the beginning of Revelation? So many things going on. Stephen, welcome back. I can't think of a better time and a more urgent time to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much, George. And as everyone knows, things are accelerating to such a degree, it seems like you just get your mind wrapped around one thing on a Monday, and by Tuesday, everything changes. And I think it's fascinating that, when I say fascinating, not in a good way, but you just introduced me kind of talking about the things of the book of Revelation. We're seeing the greatest push that we've ever seen in the history of the world. You know, people used to poo-poo one world government. They used to poo-poo one world religion and poo-poo the one world economic system that, you know, pretty much identified the end of days, not the end of the world, but the end of time as biblically and prophetically defined. And with the situation of even the war on cash on a worldwide basis, and fascinating, everyone needs to keep in mind that the events that the horrible events that happened in Florida were timed pretty, I would say this curiously, with the Bilderbergers meeting in Dresden. Now, why this is critical is because, look, people can argue, they can fight over the Illuminati, defining the globalists, defining the Luciferians, but what they're missing is the fact that these individuals are very threatened by the political scene in America. I think the last time you and I were on, we were talking about Donald Trump, who was kind of the long shot, mm-hmm. and the, if you will, the mockery of mainstream media. And you asked me at that time if I was endorsing him, and I said, look, he's saying what everybody thinks and everyone else is afraid to say. And so I think it's interesting that right now we have someone so outspoken. And if you look at all of the scandals taking place, whether it's, you know, the sexual proclivities of a former president, the whole email scandal, George, as you and I speak tonight, there are people in federal prison for possessing one classified email, making it known, or someone being tried in a military court of justice for having pictures, just normal pictures, inside a submarine. Yet those same submarines are opened up to the public for periodic, whatever it's called. What's it called when the Navy opens the ships up for Fleet Week? Is that what it's called?
Fleet Week, yep.
Yep, and you're a Navy guy, so I'll rely on you for that. So we're seeing all the events, but one of the things I think we really need to talk about is a curiosity of the strange weather that's happening. And we've got right now, I posted a story on my site, that we have over 32 active volcanoes that are some of the biggest volcanoes in the world. For instance, Popo, and I'll shorten it because I don't do the correct pronunciation correct in Mexico City. Did you see those photos that it
oh
was?
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, what, 22 million people in harm's way there? And then, again, my apology to Russian-speaking people that I pronounce it Kolesovskoye in Kamchatka, and a huge explosion there. So in 1816, and this is kind of a bit of really relevant history, very relevant history, Mount Tambora went off, actually in 1815, but the volcanic ash from the largest volcano ever recorded in history spread throughout the world, so much so that in 1816, the summer of 1816, there was literally no summer. And the world knew it as the year without summer. Crops failed, food prices exploded, and here's what really got me tonight. I didn't remember this, okay? Is that was the year 1816 that Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, was locked in Switzerland. They were trying to basically sit out the darkness, and it's Lord Byron, he wrote his famous piece about the darkness. He said, I had a dream, which was not at all a dream. The bright sun was extinguished. Now, we're hearing a lot about Planet X, Nibiru, the 10th planet, the 9th planet, Gabriel's fist, Lucifer's hammer. These are all
right.
Names that have been attributed.
And trumpet sounds. I have to ask you about that later, Stephen.
Well, we'll talk about that, too, because, again, those are signs and sounds in the heaven. And what's fascinating about this is that the atmospheric effects that are taking place, we can look at everything around our solar system and see massive evidence of catastrophic events taking place, where even some of our planets go in retrograde motion, meaning they spin in the opposite direction. What's important to understand in that is that the ancients, and, you know, I spend a lot of time in ancient history, the ancients were not, you know, just basically guys chiseling with a prehistoric rock on a prehistoric wall, having such vast knowledge of the universe that they recorded these events. The famous Bayeux Tapestry shows UFOs. It shows meteors and some of the great meteor storms have taken place. And what are we seeing now, George? We're seeing handy cams, video cams, CCTV presentations of aerial phenomenon. And it's fascinating because I'm sure you get voluminous amounts of email, people saying, it's almost like the battle in outer space has come into our visible realm. And that's exactly what's happening.
Something's going on. And what also is happening, Stephen, and I think you've noticed this too, people are acting weird. I have, for the last year and a half, 2 years, been talking about sensing something very ominous. I don't know if it was this tragedy in Orlando this past weekend or not, but something's happening to people. Do you sense that?
Well, I sense it, and I get reports of it daily. You know, what's even more astonishing to me is, and this is something people have got to understand, the human brain, and I believe it's a marvelous creation of living God, is designed to function in a specific frequency range and a specific electrical range with CERN. And by the way, CERN's not the only collider of its type. The Russians have their version. The Chinese are building one that makes CERN look like a finger ring. I mean, this is how everyone is experimenting and going beyond even the postulated realms of trillion electron volts, quadrillion electron volts, and the very fabric of society and dimensions that were once closed to mankind are opening up. I get multiple emails daily of people having such horrible and very ugly supernatural experiences. I just posted on my website while I was listening to your other guests talking, and what was some of the shots now that people are getting of UFOs and of fleets of UFOs. I'll tell you one of the most amazing things that I've found out and that blew my mind. Tom Horn and Chris Putnam went to Mount Graham in Arizona, one of the most the sacred sites to Native Americans in the world. And when they were at the Lucifer telescope, and that's a binocular telescope, actually it's an electronic device in the infrared realm that is associated with the largest binocular telescope in the world, one of the top Vatican astronomers said, sometimes we have to wait for an hour for the field to clear of all the UFOs. Now, that you would think, oh, that's just a guy cracking jokes. Well, most people know some of those scientists have such dry humor that that may be the case. But as Tom said, Chris and I looked at each other, and he was dead serious. They didn't ask him about UFOs. It was volunteered. So as we talk tonight about the events taking place, I'll say this. People are losing it. And Gerald Celente has a great statement. He said, when people have nothing to lose, they lose it. But when the electrical field, you know, it used to be the old lunatic word, meaning that the moon, and just as it affects the tide, it affects the human brain and affects the human psyche. It's my contention, and we've talked about it on your show, that the ancients knew about stargates. They knew about skinwalkers. They knew about the different creatures that would come through the stargates, the portals, the ladders, if you will, the dimensional gates. And so the back room scuttle coming from CERN through scientists, who some are terrified. The news that is coming out, not officially, is very dangerous. And I think most people should understand that when you have Shiva, the cosmic dance of destruction and recreation, it's fascinating that and very telling that they would choose a Hindu deity that's responsible for the destruction of worlds to be, if you will, the mascot for the very scientific experiment that people are worried about, is doing what the mascot Shiva represents. So yes, I'm seeing people losing it. I'm seeing people absolutely crying out for help. It's no, what would you say, exaggeration. It's no attempt to even make it super sensational. These are people, ordinary. These are not people delving into different black arts. They're seeing this stuff, and it's manifesting. And it's manifesting in such a way that literally the gates of hell have opened, and a gate can either hold something back or allow something through it. And what's fascinating to me is concurrent with that are different energy sources now being identified all over the world, for instance, Antarctica. And I know you had Linda Moulton Howe had probably one of the most amazing interviews with someone that worked down there, and you and I talked about it. And for the record, George, people now are recognizing there's something special going on in Antarctica, and I think very dangerous, when the world's leaders, the two, the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Western Catholic Church, are meeting down there, and along with the President of the United States, and all these secret meetings in Patagonia.
Oh, lots of them. Stephen, hold on. We're at the break, but we'll come back for more on Coast to Coast AM. Yep, about 8 feet under. Hey, we are coming down the home stretch for our live St. Louis event this coming Saturday. And those of you in the greater St. Louis area, in Illinois, Arkansas, come on up, and we're going to have a great time there. The event is at the Lindenwood University. Full information at coasttocoastam.com and the highlight reel. You just click that. You can order your tickets that way, too. I'm telling you, we're going to have a great time and a meet and greet after that, and everybody has some fun at those events, so I'm looking forward to that. And then in August, Asheville, North Carolina, another major live event in a beautiful theater called the Diana Wortham Theater. Full information there as well at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Stephen Quayle. Stephen, I got a breaking story I want to quickly get out and then ask your reaction to just what's going on in Orlando. Police are searching for a two-year-old boy attacked by an alligator and then dragged away at a Disney hotel near Orlando. Unbelievable. Steve, this is the third tragedy in Orlando in a week.
Well, it is, and these things tend to cluster. And by the way, you know, I think it was in the vicinity of the Grand Floridian. But if you look at the events that are happening, it's like evil is increasing. And you know, God bless that little boy, but I doubt they'll find him alive. And the thing that is excruciatingly painful right now is it's one thing to deal with normal evil. I mean, obviously murders and all the things that have been in our, if you will, our immediate history. But as your guest said, there's something going on where people enjoy, actually you're the one that said it, enjoy this, and you're afraid that more and more people are watching this. We are being programmed for such great evil, the slaughter of people, men, women, and children, being burned alive, you know, being tortured, being thrown off buildings, beheaded, having their extremities cut off, women being raped to death. All these images now are on the internet, and there's a perverted, and I will say this, demonic delight in people that I believe are truly demon possessed that absolutely enjoy this sort of thing. And it's no longer a Saw movie on TV. It's no longer The Hills Have Eyes. The reality, George, is that when you turn on Matt Drudge's, or forgive me, on your computer, you go to Matt Drudge's, the Drudge Report, and one day there are four different events of people demon-possessed, or close to 100 kids in Peru, and all of these strange things happening, and all the blood and gore all over the floor, it becomes obvious that things have changed. And when you're dealing with a disembodied spirit, most people, and I want to make a real simple, I guess you'd say, illustration for people. The fallen angels, the fallen one, the Pentagon even acknowledges as the gods of the Anunnaki. That's what obviously Zachariah Sitchin, but they call them, the Pentagon calls them the gods of the Sumerians. And all of the Sumerian gods and the stele and the, if you will, the inscribed stone, whether you see a king who's sitting on a stone and normal-sized people who are bringing him that come up to his knee, the gods of the Sumerians, quote-unquote, from Pentagon sources that have talked to me said they are returning. The Vatican says they are returning. The Native American says they are coming back. And people forget, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail, and he also said just as in the days of Noah. So, you know, it's astonishing to me that all these events being put into context are out of the realm of most most people's ability to grasp it. It's one thing even to grasp it intellectually, but it's overwhelming to deal with it emotionally. And back to Antarctica, a general contacted a friend of mine. He, you know, obviously can't talk to me for reasons of whoever listens in on everything, and everybody listens in on everything. But he said in Antarctica, he said some of the tunnels are so big that they're 4 football fields in width, and you know, several hundred feet high. Now, why do you need tunnels that big? And he also said the strange sounds. They're monitoring sounds that they've never heard before, and when they put them on their oscilloscopes to try and get a waveform for them, they're literally out of bounds, and when they do find them, there's nothing to compare to. So I believe the whole Earth is convulsing. As I said, 32 active volcanoes, and on the Volcano World or Volcano Watch, I posted an article on my website today, and I counted them, George, 132 of the world's most dangerous, deadly volcanoes. And for the record, two of the biggest ones were in Indonesia. That's where the last Banda Aceh earthquake happened with the tidal wave. So the natives are restless. And I don't mean that in a Native American way. I'm meaning people are coming unglued. And the Native Americans are the only ones as a large group of body that really, I think, understand the full effect of what's getting ready to happen. And even more so, that's literally taking place now.
Stephen, let's talk a little bit about the trumpets, and then we're going to get into some current events with this strange twist that's happening on this planet. But people are reporting hearing sounds, whether they're loud hums or trumpet sounds. What does that mean revelation-wise? What do the trumpets mean?
Well, the trumpets are a heavenly sign of specific judgments that are befalling the earth. And there are people that are trying to say they're foghorns, but most people that listen to them, even when they're in a wilderness, you know, for instance, some of the ones that are coming from the Ukraine and Siberia and different places around the world, they're so unnerving. Again, they're in a frequency range that most people haven't heard before, and when it's an atmospheric sound, for instance, when an asteroid comes into the Earth's atmosphere, depending on the size, the velocity, it can break the sound barrier, and we're seeing more and more sounds associated with the heavens. Now, getting back to the trumpets, you have the seven seals that are open in the Book of Revelation. Each seal that's open indicates a worsening condition on the Earth. It's like the four horsemen aren't just pacing now, they're on a gallop.
Yes.
And then you have the issue of how does sound affect matter. We all grew up in television time where they would show what the Memorex tape commercial, where they'd hit a glass, a wine glass, with a certain frequency, and it was either Memorex or TDK, one of the...
And it would shatter, right?
It would shatter, right. Well, that's what's happening in this sound realm, too. It's having an effect on nature. And for the record, Tesla was one who not only experimented with high fields of electricity, geomagnetism, but sound was very important. A laser is light amplification, simulated emission of radiation, and a maser is microwave. But even more than that, if you notice what's happening, even with the supposedly non-lethal weapons by the military and using them, LIDAR some of the different, radar-style weapons, they change people. They're absolutely frying them. And I want to share something about the giants. In ancient history, and this is what my concerns are, okay? In ancient history, the voice of the giants had an effect similar to what a lion, when a lion roars in the jungle, anyone who's ever heard a real lion roar in real time, it has an effect on everything. It's almost like everything becomes, quote, paralyzed with fear. And the shrill voice of the giants in antiquity not only was able to put fear, but it was also able somehow to overcome gravity by the sonic effect of the air motion. And this is fascinating because we see all these huge rocks. You know, in our new video series, the second one's coming out and by the end of the month, called True Legends, the series, The Unholy Sea. We go into all of the major places in the world, like Sacsayhuaman and Ollantaytambo in South America, then over to Malta and Sardinia. And there's so many indications, George, these giant boulders in the Rock of the Pregnant Stone. Some of these things are so big that they defy description. And when you think you see the big ones on top of the surface, you only need to go you'd need to dig deeper to find the bigger ones. So the sound effects that are taking place around the world, I believe there are physical reasons for it. For instance, when Mount Tambora exploded in 1815 in Indonesia, the sound was heard all the way to Hawaii. Now, that's obviously, you can explain that by physics. But some of these strange sounds that are literally outside the realm of the normal instrumentation to define it, they have to have an origin outside of the normal parameters of normal physics. In that world, it's called the black world, ultra black world, and it's black physics. Black physics simply means there is a level of science that is not known to the general public and is only made known into the initiates of the people that join the different societies. And the thing that with the secret societies always comes the secret knowledge, the forbidden knowledge, the hidden knowledge. And you've had Michael Cramo on your show
many times. Yeah.
Yep, and the thing is that I love his title, Forbidden Archaeology. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is that the ancients knew how to move stones using sound. And now we've got the situation with, again, we've got beings, entities that have been used to living in a different dimension, coming into our dimension. And literally, I think it's obvious to see that people are freaking out, they're creeping out, and pretty soon we're going to see men's hearts failing them with those things coming up on the earth. And what's astonishing, and people better get used to it, when something so beyond your normal realm of being able to cope and define takes place, it is probably the most emotionally, but more importantly, the most mentally destabilizing event in a person's history. I'll give you a good example. When black, and again, I'm talking about secret world of science, physics, and things that go bump in the night, I had a general tell me personally, he said this, he said, the things, I have men who are considered the toughest, most dangerous men in the world, but some of them have literally dropped dead in their tracks. I've said this on different radio shows, but they've literally turned white instantaneously. You've heard the old idiom, they were turned white as a ghost. Well, if you look at the fascination now that mankind has, first in science fiction movies, obviously it started in the world of writing, you cannot separate ancient history, and you cannot separate myths and legends, and even the definition of those different creatures and those different events, for sounds, for instance, lights in the sky, you can't separate them from now what people are reporting all over the world. And the gates are opening, and the Native Americans who contact me are talking about a phenomenon that their forefathers talked to them about, taught them about, and now they're actually experiencing it for themselves.
Stephen, let's talk a little bit about some world events as well and what's going on all around the planet. You have some concerns about Venezuela. Tell me why.
Well, I think Venezuela is a perfect example of a failed nation state. And I think we're seeing the food lines there that defy description. We're seeing what central planning does, especially when it fails miserably. Maduro's government is a basket case. Obviously, when you have the great wealth of very wealthy people, then you have the average guy who has to search through dumpsters and doing everything they can to stay alive. And by the way, Venezuela had a thriving middle class. I've known some amazing Venezuelans. I've always known them to be incredibly productive, incredibly wonderful people. And yet now we're watching, and what's unique about this, George, is Venezuela had a thriving oil industry, and they had plenty of cash. Venezuela's been forced to sell all their gold, and it says something when a nation basically cannot feed its own people. Now, fast forward into the United States. There's a website that monitors when different computer sites are down, Visa, MasterCard, whatever. But there's another one that's the EBT, the Electronic Benefit Transfer Card, that people use for food stamps. And it's literally gone off the charts. It isn't across the whole country, but it's selectively denying people payment for up to now 10 days. I think we're up to 11 days. And if you take 11 days ago, the amount of people that weren't having their EBT cards, you know, replenished, refilled. So I see this. I see instead of unifying the country in the United States, I see a division coming that's so great. I see 102 million people unemployed, either statistically and officially. And by the way, all the official statistics that the U.S. government comes out with are fake. The best guy in the world is John Williams with, I guess it's shadow stats, the real statistics. We've got, what, close to 50 million people, 49-something million people on food stamps or the EBT cards. And what you have is you'll have those stories, and then you'll have the stories of Manhattan apartments selling for, what, $100 million, $200 million, ranches in Texas for selling for $750 million.
Oh, geez.
It's the attitude of Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. No, in Venezuela, it's let them eat garbage. Unfortunately, the French Revolution and the attitude that led to the French Revolution is getting bigger and bigger. The president and Congress are out of touch with reality. Donald Trump is absolutely right. And isn't it interesting? You asked me about the trumpets. You know, twice in the book of Revelation, the trumpets are mentioned, okay? Well, more than twice, but two places in the Bible, they're mentioned, the trump of God. And Trump is an interesting name, and it's fascinating that it's not a obvious name like Smith, Jones. It's not a common name. But what's interesting to me is this, is that people don't get the fact that there's a direct correlation with what Ross Perot used to talk about and warn about with the General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs. And now we've got the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it basically boiled down to this, greed and contempt for the American worker. You might have saw the story last week, and this is critical, where 417,000 people on retirement are facing the absolute shutoff of retirement.
Yes. And what happens then, Steve, to these poor people? My
well,
God.
What happens, they'll have to do whatever they need to do to stay alive. And it's so much on my heart, George. It breaks my heart. I wrote an email alert, and I guess you'd call it not an email, but a heads-up alert, saying to people, those of you with the ability to help your neighbor financially, you don't know that your neighbor just didn't get low, he lost his job. You don't know that the person down the street, you know, just lost everything. So, you know, again, I believe that America was great, just like the French wrote about us, because our people are great. But what's happening is this crew in Washington, and by the way, I'm on record as saying they're brigands, pirates, and thieves, okay? And there are very few exceptions, if any, and people are tired of it. We have the same situation that Rome faced, Imperial Rome. We have enemies within the gates. We have enemies outside the gates. We've got a foreign policy, and that's directly provoking Russia. And the idea is this, and let me make this clear for everybody, because this will put everything that's happening in the Middle East, everything that's happening with Russia, America's foreign policy, there are those who want World War III. You can call them crazy. I can call them insane. We can call them whatever we want, but they absolutely want it. Because in order to fulfill, and for the record, this is what you're seeing in the whole world of Islamic revolution, you're seeing the fulfillment that they believe, and it's written in their books that there has to be the Great War in order, actually the end of the world, to bring about their Imam Mahdi. their coming one.
Second coming for him, yeah.
Yep, and so what it breaks my heart to see. How about Chicago? How about how many people get shot there? And look, it's a gun-free zone. The same thing with Orlando. You know, I don't usually see an AR-15 rising up on 2 feet and indiscriminately going and blasting people. But instead of uniting the country against a common foe, a declared foe, look, if it smells like ISIS, if they claim to be ISIS, if they want to make sure that everybody understands that, and then we have the cover up and cover over.
Hold on, Stephen. Hold it right there. We'll be back on Coast to Coast AM.